Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Wire Ropes Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sonpal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Bharat Wire Ropes and Ropes Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. M.L. Mittal, Managing Director, and Mr. Mayank Mittal, Joint Managing Director. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Mayank Mittal to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj, for hosting this call, and a very good afternoon to everyone joining us today. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to our first ever earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ending 23. Being that this is our first ever earnings call, let me first give you a brief about the company so that everyone is on the same page. Bharat Wire Ropes Limited was originally incorporated in the year 1986, and later in 2010 it was acquired by us. We are today one of the leading manufacturers of specialty wire rope slings and wire strands, with over thousands of varieties of products and SKUs. Our products meet the functional needs of various industrial applications such as general engineering, aviation, fishing, elevator, cranes, material handling, on and offshore oil exploration, ports, shipping, and mining. The company has two manufacturing plants. One is in Atgao, Maharashtra, which is 90 kilometers from Mumbai, and it's the old plant that we acquired, which has a capacity of 6,000 metric tons per annum, and a new state-of-the-art facility in Chalisgaon, Maharashtra, which has a capacity of 66,000 metric tons per annum. Our manufacturing facility at Chalisgaon is equipped with the latest technology, machines, and infrastructure from the best companies across the globe. We have machines mainly from South Korea and Germany, which helps us to compete with the global manufacturers. We are exporting our products to over 50-plus countries covering the six continents, including Australia, Belize, Nepal, New Zealand, UK, US, Singapore, South Africa, Vietnam, and many more. Alongside this, the company also caters to the government, semi-government organization, private organization, and multinational companies. There has been a significant transformation in the company's business and performance. Strategic efforts have been made to focus on improving marketing, enhancing productivity, and maximizing plant utilization by minimizing wastage, reducing material holding costs, and focusing on sustainable operations. Let me give you a brief on the fourth quarter and financial year 2023. For the fourth quarter under review, on a consolidated basis, we reported revenues of 162 crores, which was up by 21% on a year-on-year basis and 12.5% on quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA margins for the quarter were reported at 28.16%, which represents a significant growth both on a yearly and quarterly basis. Net profit stood at 16 crores, which was up by 106% year-on-year, but down by 16% on quarter-on-quarter basis due to the additional deferred tax provision taken of 8.4 crores in this quarter. For the financial year 23, consolidated revenue stood at 589 crores, reflecting a strong growth of 43% year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter was reported at around 139 crores, which represents a growth of over 100% on year, with EBITDA margins at 23.56%. Net profit for the year was 62 crores, which was up by 354% year-on-year basis. Please note that the company has made an additional tax provision of 8.4 crores on account of change in tax structure. Without this item, the net profit would have been 70.6 crores in FY23. Now I request our Managing Director, Mr. M.L. Mittal, to give you some of the operational highlights and future plans.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today on first ever earning calls. I am happy to inform you that after many years of hard work, our company has reported its highest ever quarterly and yearly revenues in Q3, FY23 and FY23. In FY23, our sales volume increased by 13% year on year, and we are currently operating at 60 to 62% capacity utilization level. In FY23, there was improvement in our realizations by 30% on account of improvement in the product mix, higher economical scale of operations, and also improvement in our credibility due to good manufacturing track record, and lastly, also supported by increase in the steel prices. We have also seen improvement in the profitabilities due to increase in sales realizations, cost optimizations, and reduction of interest costs. The company has turned around its operations and also very strong and healthy balance sheet. Our business is thriving with the strong demand outlooks. We have an ongoing order book position of 170 to 200 crores, which is usually executed within a quarter. Our credibility with the customers is improving day by day, resulting in repeated orders consistently coming to the company. We are also looking at substantially sustainability initiative by switching to solar power, which will not only reduce our carbon footprints, but also help us in saving energy costs almost 30 to 40% in the coming years. Our future plans, looking to our past performance, we are confident that conservative side will grow at least 15 to 20% in volume growth during next 3 to 5 years to achieve our rated capacity of 72,000 tons per annum by investing a small amount of in balancing equipments from our internal cash accruals. Our major production is for export market. However, looking to Indian infrastructure development plans of Government of India, we are confident that huge demand will be generated in the country, which will also support our growth projections. Recently, Honorable Minister of Transport and Highways, Mr. Nitin Gadkari, has announced $15 billion investment in the roadway construction to be completed in next 5 years. This is the largest project in the world. Apart from this projected demand, ongoing infrastructure, metro and construction activities also generating huge demand in the country, and our company will be able to get the benefits of this development of the new demands. We shall ensure that our total debts in the company should not be approximately equal to 1 year EBITDA and surplus money to be generated in future. We intend to invest in new product developments and which will give us ROC of at least 25 to 30%. Details will be informed in next 2 quarters on finalization of the schemes which will be implemented in next 2 years. We have also issued CCPS to the bankers, which will be compulsory converted into equity shares after 13 and a half years to 20 years in each 8th installment at that time prevailing price as per SEBI formula. However, we are closely monitoring and working to address this issue much earlier without affecting existing shareholders' interest, because it is not the liabilities of the company as a date. We can now open the floor for the questions and answer session. Thank you very much. Over to Mr. Anuj.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Jatin Damania with Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of number, Mittalji. Sir, just to understand that since we have a 72,000 tons of capacity and we operated at 60-65% utilization, so now given the ramp-up that we had seen, it seems like we would be operating at the rated capacity in FY24. So just wanted to understand the roadmap going ahead 2 to 3 years down the line, what are we seeing in terms of the capital expenditure and in terms of the volume, as you already highlighted that given the strong demand, we will see a huge volume growth over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. See, I mentioned we'll be going volume growth 15-20% conservative side. Last year we achieved around 39,000 tons production, and if you take 15-20% growth, the 72,000 tons production what we are expecting, the rated capacity achievement next 2 to 3 years time. With this rate of 15-20% growth, we are confident to achieve these numbers, number one. Rated capacity. Second, the investment will be very small, negligible, only for the balancing equipments wherever the shortfall is there in this to achieve this capacity. So there is a major capex plan to achieve this capacity in next 2 to 3 years time.
Mm-hmm. But sir, given the such of numbers that we reported in FY23 and probably largely in last quarter of this number, now with the volume increase of 15-20%, is it safe to assume that the incremental volume that we will be doing will come with the higher margins?
Yes, definitely margins will be improved because we mentioned that our operational efficiency improving, our production cost is getting reduced. We are going for sales product mix. We are changing regularly. We are going for the higher sales price by offering the different products which will give the higher value, like elevator ropes or compacted ropes or other, you know, different type of products for the same type of ropes. At the same time, our cost of production is in control. We are reducing because of volume. We are buying the raw material, immediate payment, most of the raw material. We are getting substantial discount on the purchase price also as compared to earlier years. So that all the factors will give additional top line as well as bottom line.
Sir, last question, if you are looking at the last year numbers, definitely we had seen a sharp increase in our power and fuel costs. So are we moving into a renewable or any steps that we are taking to reduce the overall conversion cost?
Yes, sir. We mentioned that we are going for the solar. We already started 5.5 megawatt solar energy and another 3.5 megawatts under installation that will be completed within the next two months' time. At same time, as compared to last year, if you remember last year, the LNG price shoot up to 140 rupees per kg. Now, at present, the this LNG price is 70 rupees per kg. So, additional, you know, benefits you are going to get through to energy cost as well as solar cost.
Okay, sir, in case, better if you can quantify what will be the saving that we will be doing to solar and energy, is it possible?
Around 30-40% the cost of the energy will be saved as compared to last year's.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in a queue if I have any questions.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Jaiswani from Stallion. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mittalji. Good afternoon. Just trying to understand, sir, the margin volatility of the business. Sir, this quarter we've reported closer to 28% EBITDA margin. This year we've done 23% EBITDA margin. So these margins are now larger than the market leader in this industry, like way higher than the market leader. These margins are so high because of reduction of domestic steel prices and that's how you benefit, or these are sustainable margins?
Yeah, there are three, four components for the higher EBITDA margin and net margin. Number one, Our product mix is we are continuously changing and upgrading our product mix. We are getting a higher realization on the product mix side. Second, our sales price is getting increased because our credibility in the market is improving day by day. We are mainly in the export market, almost 85%. Third, the productivity, once we achieve certain threshold limit of the production, then any incremental production is giving the higher realization because other cost remains unchanged, except direct raw material and let us see, small proportion of power, all other cost remains unchanged. So all these factors is adding in the bottom line and the EBITDA margin.
Got it.
And we are confident that we can sustain these margins in the coming future also.
So you think 28% the margin that we reported this quarter is sustainable margin?
It is possible to sustain in the coming years also. It is possible. That's why we just committing this. Yes, we are able to get this margin in future also.
Got it. So if steel price goes down except inventory losses, you don't have any other impact, right?
No, we don't have any impact. In fact, we are covering, you are hedging properly. Let us see, we have suppose 10,000 tons orders in hand. Our total inventory in the systems is almost 10,000 tons. So we are not exposed to the commodity prices, the major fluctuation. A small fluctuation definitely we can absorb because we have contribution is very high. Our gross contribution is almost 59,000 rupees per ton, which is highest in the industries. So small, fluctuation in steel price or zinc price definitely we can absorb. And we are confident that yes, we can maintain this margin.
Got it, sir. So typically, let's say elevator ropes. Okay, I'm just trying to understand your business a little better. Like elevator ropes, sir, would it take, let's say, Otis is your client. I'm just giving you an example, okay? I don't know if they're your clients or not. Would they, do they have some kind of permission approval timeline that goes through, what is the like the moat like in our business? Or it's like a commodity that jo chahiye bet sakta hai, koi bhi, like whoever, two, three vendors are there and whoever gives the lowest cost, customer goes towards them. How does it work?
Actually, all these elevator manufacturers have a stringent approval process, which can take years also. And these, most of the multinationals have testing facilities abroad. So they do their testing abroad. They have rigorous testing procedures, and it can take years. So it's a pretty stringent market to enter. And it has entry barriers.
Got it. Just trying to understand the bank conversion thing. So I was just going through your annual report, and your annual report says that we'll have to pay 328 crore rupees to get the debt cleared. How does that work? Sorry, I might be very wrong here. Because that's
I'll explain.
You.
I got your point. 382 crores. You issued 382 crores CCPS to the bankers 2 years back, which has a condition that after 13 and a half years, this will convert it into equity at that time prevailing market price as per SEBI formula. And that also from 13 and a half to 20 years. So average, let us say 16, 17 years after they will convert into equity. At the same time, management have put and call options and we can buy out this instrument at 9% deep discounting anytime after 1st April 2023.
Got it.
The NPV value of those instruments, if I want to buy out, I can buy out at 105 crore, 150, 20 crores. So as such companies per se, it is not the liabilities at all in the companies in future also. It is an equity instrument, compulsory convertible equity instrument. And we are seriously working. We are monitoring closely at appropriate time. We will come back to the investors and the shareholders, everybody, that this is our plans once we finalize. Otherwise, it's 13 years, almost 20 years is a long period for this type of instrument conversion to equity.
Got it. So this
382 crores is not the liabilities of the company. It is a debt equity instrument.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Amit Jaiswani. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 1 to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, just wanted to know what is the amount of subsidy that we have received in this year and the corresponding of last year. Also, has there been any extension or in April 2023 the subsidy ended?
See, this is a PSI scheme of the government of Maharashtra. We are in backward area, D zone, so we are eligible to get subsidy to the extent of VAT collected, sorry, GST collected from the customers. And last year we received the 30 crores we received last year from the government of Maharashtra. And our total eligibility 435 crores. And we have time up to October 25. Afterwards, we might get extension, but right now we have October 25.
Has it already got extended? Because last time we spoke, you said this was still April 23.
Last year it was October 23. Now we got 2 years extension because of COVID. So October 25 is the final date we got the letter from Government of Maharashtra.
Understood. And this 30 crores is for FY23, right?
Yeah.
That we have received.
FY23, we have just requested it will be around 44 crores. We will get over the period next 15 to 18 months time.
But have we already accounted?
Yeah, this is already accounted.
Hello?
Yeah. This is accounted. 38 crores is accounted in the March 23. And what we got, that is pertaining to 2019-20 and 2021.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pratik Pantia with Giri Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, what is the replacement life for the elevator cables that you provide? And also, what is the percentage of replacement revenue that you get every year?
So basically, for elevator ropes, the replacement cycle is around 6 years, 5 to 6 years. Again, it all depends on the usage of the elevator ropes. But on an average, what you have seen is around 6 years, 5 to 6 years. And elevator is... I think so. It's a major part of the general engineering business that we are doing, and we are working with a couple of big manufacturers.
Okay.
Like Kone Elevators, Johnson is there. Fujitech is a new entrant. So we are working with a lot of marquee clients here.
Okay. Hi. This is Dhaval Shah this side. I have a question. What we notice is that in the elevator industry, the number of average stops which an elevator has, you know, that is going up. Like for a long time, there were 8 stops an elevator was having, and now that 8 is going to 11, 12, 15 as more and more tall buildings are built in the country. Now, with this, how does your, the elevator rope business benefit in terms of strength or the more quality of ropes or anything, or it remains the same?
So basically, as the number of elevators is increasing, the footprint of it is increasing, definitely there's an increased demand that we are seeing in our order book. On the follow-up thing, I did not get your question. Can you just...
So my question is that, an elevator is made for an 8-story building. And now,
right.
Now it's going, you know, as the more and more high rises are built, you know, you need,
longer lengths. Okay.
Yeah. So then does the quality of rope use changes with the more taller building, faster speed? Because now the global standard is like 1 second per floor for the tall building. It is much less. And one is also moving towards that, you know, when we go to a 50-70 story building. So how does that rope quality changes, once you start supplying for the faster speed elevators?
Actually, the quality of the rope is again specified by the manufacturer, and we give this rope according to that specification. So these manufacturers work on their designs, and they have huge R&D centers. So as far as what we have seen is the specification of what these people are giving us, these ropes are good to go for a 30-story, 40-story buildings also. Until unless they change the technology and they go into something else.
Okay.
But for now, what we have seen is our machines, our capability, our manufacturing facility is good to go with all the manufacturers I mentioned.
Okay. And my last question again on the elevator industry. Given ropes are such a critical part of the functioning of the elevator, anywhere in the world do the OEMs make ropes themselves, or everything is made by players like you?
No, it is all made by rope manufacturers. The elevator manufacturer, they are basically assembling all the different components. So nowhere in the world they are manufacturing their ropes themselves.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back in the queue again.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Falguni Datta from Jet Age Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have a few questions. One is on the subsidy. Is it a part of revenue from operations for us?
Yes, it is part of revenue for all material purpose, and we are accounting as revenue only.
And sir, since which year are we receiving this subsidy?
We started receiving from the 2019 onwards, and this will go up to 2025 October.
Meaning FY19, you mean to say?
2019.
Okay. And it will go till 2025?
Up to 25, means 25-26.
Okay. And sir, the second question, could you just tell us the production and sales volume for Q4 of FY23?
$11,298 precisely is the production, and $10,689 is the sales for the Q4.
Sir, I missed you. Sorry, could you just come again?
11,298 metric tons is production, and
okay.
10,689 is the sales.
Okay. And sir, as you mentioned that you have a capacity of 72,000 tons. But the volumes for last year were, if I am not mistaken, around 39,000 is what you said for FY20.
Right.
39. So, sir, what stopped us from doing higher volumes? I mean, why is it that we have not been doing, let's say, closer to 60-odd?
See, we are, as I mentioned in my speech also, that we are gradually increasing every year 10% to 15% to 20%, you know, volume growth to achieve our 72,000 capacity. It's impossible to achieve optimum capacity in year one. So wherever we require balance equipment, we are adding balance equipment to achieve the total capacity. So next 2 to 3 years time, definitely we are going to achieve the 72,000 capacity.
Sir, just to interrupt this, our 72,000 tons capacity is since when?
It's the installed capacity, and the rope industry is 100% of the installed capacity cannot be achieved. There are a lot of, you know, ifs and buts there for balance equipment, for the process, the, you know, loading, unloading time, a lot of things happens. So
no,
it's
meant to ask
for anybody to achieve day one.
No, capacity.
It was installed capacity. Just like, you know, car is manufactured for the speed up to 240 kilo, you know, kilometers per hour, but it's impossible to achieve 440 immediately.
No, I just wanted to ask you that since I have not followed the company so closely earlier, so this 72,000 tons capacity that we have is since which year?
2016-17 when we come out of the IPO, that time we installed this capacity. We designed the entire plant for 66,000 Chaligaon and 6,000 for Adgaon. So total 72,000 capacity we invested in our IPO future also.
No, so this 72,000 is since which year we are having this capacity? Is what is 2016-17. Okay. And sir, one final question is on the order book. I missed on the order book also.
Now 170 crores to 200 crores is order book, which will be serving within 1 quarter. And this order we get daily basis. So, you know, this is a continuous process.
And
around so, three,
could
one quarter's orders always in hand.
Could you tell us the volume against this?
Around 14,000 tons, 13 to 14,000 tons.
Fine. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah. Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Podar.
For the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, you mentioned 15-20% revenue growth we may look at over next 2 to 3 years, right? CAGR?
Yeah. Volume growth. We just say volume growth. So volume production.
Volume growth, right? So that
really does depend upon the steel prices and other factors, and this is also increasing because steel price is changing and our realization increasing, so that may affect further, but the volume growth is 15-20% is likely to be there.
Correct. So currently we did about 39,000 odd tons of 38.5. So if we do 20%, so in 3 years we would be close to about 68,000 tons of utilization as compared to rated capacity of. So we'll reach about 90-95% utilization level. So is that something which is possible in our industry to achieve 95% kind of a utilization level?
This industry is unlikely, but definitely by adding some balance equipment, we are trying to achieve maximum possibility.
Okay. And then how do we see the ASPs? I mean, ASPs, we have seen a very, a sharp jump of 27-28%. So how do we look at, in terms of ASP?
ASP is likely to improve since we are also working on the product mix, wherein we are trying to add more sophisticated products where we are competing with the global giants. So it is likely to improve further. Basically, we have a strong R&D department where we are working with new designs, new technology, just to improve the ASP.
Okay. So even if the ASP improved by 5 to 10%, that 20-25% CAGR in revenue would be a reasonable to assume, right? I mean, going forward.
See, last year, because of sharp increase in steel prices, 30% growth is because of steel prices increase and the productivity increase, so there are many factors. So ASP also, suppose tomorrow steel price is going up to, say, 40% higher, then definitely ASP always increase. If it goes down, it will go down also. So the two factors are important. One is steel price, other is, volume growth.
Correct.
Being a commodity items of the steel, It is difficult to project completely what is the ASP improvement in the coming 2-3 years' time. But volume growth and our ASP is increasing because of the product mix changing, our credibility is improving in global market and domestic market. So we are expecting a good jump in the ASP also in coming period.
I understand. And my second question is on your solar. I mean, you mentioned 30-40% cost can be saved.
Yeah.
So can you quantify the time and how much was the energy?
I'll tell you, the PPA signed 4.40 rupees per unit, whereas we are paying right now 9.10 rupees to the government. There is one. Second is we are outsourcing solar also, which is around 4.60 rupees. Again, there's billing charges, other thinkers. So around 3 rupees will be getting the direct benefit, and in case of 3.5 megawatt, we'll be getting around 5 rupees benefits. So the aggregate, I'll be getting 30-40% because peak time between 6 p.m. to night 10 p.m., government do not allow to use any other alternates energy source because that is a peak time. They charge 110% of the normal tariff. So excluding that period, entire 24 hours, we can use solar or other, energy to reduce our power bill. So gradually we are shifting to solar, which is available easily and competitive, and we are confident that 30-40% saving will be there in this year onwards.
I understood. Can you just quantify what was the absolute in rupees crores our energy cost in FY23?
51 crore 12 lakhs was the energy cost in last 2022-23 as compared to 39 crores of 2021-22. Last year was a very, very, different type of working because of the Russia-Ukraine war. The LNG price increased up to 140 rupees because of petroleum shortage, I think. This has gone down now, 70 rupees, approximately 69-70 rupees. So this year is likely to be around 25 crores total energy as compared to 51 crores of last year's.
Okay.
So as compared to, apart from solar, LNG also giving the major benefits in the current year. Again, depend upon the international prices, the energy costs may fluctuate. It can go down, it can go up. It is not in control of anybody in the country.
I understood that is 25 crores of... So it's a follow-up. Hello? It's a follow-up. I'm not asking any new question.
Yeah.
So this 25 crore savings is about 3-3.5% of EBITDA margin saving, right?
Yeah, it's possible. That's we are working in April, and throughout the year, if energy price goes up, we are anticipating this saving, but depend upon again the energy, LNG prices, and we are consuming LNG substantially, almost 200 tons per month we are consuming.
Okay, and it will start hitting from first quarter itself, right?
Yeah. Because, last year, COVID time, it was 30 rupees per kg. 30 rupees become 140 rupees. And 140 become 60 rupees. Wide fluctuation in the energy cost. So it is, time will tell what is the actual saving, but we are expecting around 20-25 crores saving in the energy cost in the coming year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it from my side. So all the very best. That's quite helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Mitalji, just one question regarding the customer concentration. So if you can give us the revenue that comes from top 5 customers or top 10 customers.
Sorry, please repeat. I am not able to listen. Please.
Okay. I was asking about the customer concentration in our business. So, for example, top 5 customers or top 10 customers will account for how much of our top line?
The top 10, 5 customers, top 5, 10 customers, if you see, they account around 60% only. We have the wide range, almost 200 customers globally and more than 100 customers in India. So total customers base is spread in 52 countries and pan-India we are supplying. So there is a concentration of particular customers only.
Okay, wonderful. And the second question is that how much are we earning from exports versus the domestic market?
See, our products are being exported. Almost 85% products are used in the globally 52 countries plus, and 15% we are supplying the domestic market. So revenue is around 85-15.
So 85% of our revenue is coming from exports, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Binod Modi from Sherkhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, as you said, you drives almost 85% of business from export, right? So I have questions on export business only, right? Can you explain a little bit about the modalities of export in terms of what proportion you get, a dealer network, distributor network, and what is the proposition under, B2B direct, and how do you manage this, Forex thing under your export business?
See, we have distribution channels, and their channel will take care of the entire, Forex, everything, coordination with the customers, and most of the products are being distributed through the distributors overseas. We don't approach directly to any OEMs because this is small quantity. It is consumer items, so nobody is buying in the bulk quantity. They are buying small quantity, so distributor network is necessary in this business. Unless we have our own, marketing office or sales office or in the international market.
Okay, understood. So what could have been the kind of, Forex gain or losses that you would have booked in your, other income part in this year overall?
No, we sell through the distributors and we take a rupee, account. We don't book at forwarder covers except sometimes few cases, but by and large, we are not booking in the forex. We are just taking rupee. Date of dispatch is very important. What dates we are dispatching, that is, we take the rupee. So we are not exposed to Forex. The distributors take care of the everything.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, okay, understood. So it happens, you know, 100% through distributors and you deal only in INR, right?
Yeah.
Understood. And my last question, sir, if you can explain me about the realization, right, vis-a-vis your, you know, I mean, other, you know, I mean, peers in, you know, countries like Korea and Europe as well as America market. So how do we vary in terms of realization in this, you know, key export market as of now? Whether are we at par or are we offering our product at discount as of now? And if it's how much?
We price your products. We don't sell on discount. We price your products. And every market have different pricing policies. Some markets we get good realization. Some market we get low, medium, sometimes market, you know, average. So our, as I mentioned, that our products are being used globally or more than 50 countries and various users.
So, okay.
We are mainly directly competing with the Koreans and European market because in India is a, you know, better advantage for the transportation point of view, cost of production and other benefits. So Koreans and others are the major, you know, competitors. So we benchmark our product as compared to the Europeans and Koreans.
Understood. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
I had applied in the IPO in 2016 around when I come and then was tracking it. And the company went through some near-death experience. And what was the reason for it and what have been the learnings from it so that this sort of occurrence doesn't occur again in the future? And how is the opportunity size and how sustainable is the recent growth and what's the expected CAGR growth rate we expect, sir, in 2-3 years, sir?
The growth rate, we already discussed that 15-20% volume growth is expected. So far, past is concerned, we don't want to again go remember those bad days. You know, project started, but the delay in the working capital, delay was in implementation. There was a lot of issues were there. It was learning for so far. Past is concerned, definitely, and I don't say it is mistakenly experience. In if my word language you ask me, this is experience, good experience, and the experience always pays in the lifetime. So that's a lifetime experience. I've forgotten the past, which I was in ICU, which doctors, which medicines I used, I don't want to remember. But very clear that now we are very healthy balance sheet, we are healthy working, and that will continue. I can assure you, my all the investor community, that this will be healthy balance sheet, healthy, you know, company.
And basically, that's how much is the subsidy helping us right now? And it was till around 12 years, I think so, and CapEx also, there was some limit. And how much has been helping us in getting very good margins? And once it is over, then what will be the impact on top and bottom lines?
Subsidy is a small portion of the, you know, total overall performance, but at the same time, as Mayank also explained, that every time we are improving our product mix, which will give higher value realizations. So, you know, MRP or sales realizations getting improved, subsidies are getting additional benefits. So we are not working only for subsidy. Over the period after once subsidy expired, by that time, our average realization will increase more than 15-20% in the coming years, so in 2025-26, too early to, you know, project. But we are confident that without subsidy also, the company will be doing well due to increased turnover, volume, number one. Number two, our sales realization price is increasing. The subsidy, one aspect, we have sanctioned up to 435 crores eligibility certificate, and October 25 is the expiry date. So still we have 2 years, two and a half years time to use the subsidy. Later on, we can just see how we can improve the performance of the company.
Lastly, on the deferred tax part, this is the next thing. How much would have been our EPS that we have taken into account and what was the need for it, sir?
Pardon? Please.
Deferred tax, sir.
Deferred tax is just accounting entry. Still, we have something, when hopefully another 2 years will continue. We will not be taxed paying company, we have around 290 crores K for losses in the company, as per Income Tax Act. Book loss is hardly 30 crores, but the income tax losses is there, still 285 crores is there. So another maybe 2 years we can continue the deferred tax, thereafter will come actual tax.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Moneybee Investment Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, I understand that the improvement in our realization is and margins is also because of value-added products. So if you can just tell us whether there are further new value-added products that we can add in our portfolio and what would be the current value-added mix in our overall revenue.
So we are constantly working on the value-added products, adding a couple of products every quarter. That is our target. So we are continuously adding these products. In terms of realization, again, these things contribute and it helps us to compete with the global majors. So as my father mentioned that we are competing with some European manufacturers, we are competing with some American manufacturers. So this product mix will help us to compete with them more aggressively in the global market.
Right. So are there still gaps in our portfolio that we can fill in the coming year?
Yes, yes. There are a lot of gaps wherein we are working and having the same product line which anyone in the globe, any major competitor or major player have. So we are working to add those products in our product line.
Sure. Another question was you mentioned about the order book of around 170, 200 odd crores. So over what time frame do we expect to execute this order book?
So this is around 3 months.
Okay, so within 3 months we should be able to execute this order book.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my questions and congrats for a good set of numbers. So my first question is on the subsidy. So have you received most of this subsidy in the fourth quarter? Have you accounted that and that is why margins are higher? Or is it like we are accounting this subsidy every quarter?
Subsidy we are accounting every quarter, that is very clear. The receipt of subsidy takes 15 to 18 months period. We received up to March 22 subsidy, almost 75%, and the next 25% we'll be getting in the next 3 months time. So this is a depend on government of Maharashtra's available cash flow. They disburse the money as and when the budget allocated. So we are confident that up to 435 crores, which is a sanction and in limit, upper limit. And every year we are just putting the request for the disbursement once accounts are finalized. Last year, this March 23, I mentioned that around 34 crores we accounted as income in the balance sheet and definitely we'll get by within a year or
18
months period
time. Sure, sir. I'm asking this 34, most of it is in Q4 or is it like equally distributed?
Throughout the year, all four quarters.
Sure, sir. And next question is on the order book.
Let me tell you, out of 140 crores EBITDA, the subsidy only 30-35 crores, not the major portion. It is, around 20% of EBITDA.
Sure, sir. And sir, next question is on the order book. So in the presentation, we are saying 170 crore order book now for next 3 months. But in the last presentation, it was 200 crore. So basically, there is 30 crore reduction in order book. So is it like seasonal business, Q1 and Q2 will be lesser than Q4? Or how should we think about the seasonality of the business?
It is a continuous process. Sometimes bunching of orders also take place. Like some of the exporter, we have to send at a time 400 tons, 500 tons. So this 20-30 crores is immaterial because of the seasonality, not seasonality, bunching of the orders in the export market. And some tenders basis, some tenders we are getting in a particular time, so order book position becomes quite high. At the same time, the tender we have to execute in 6 to 8 months' time. So every time, it's impossible to just quantify that this will continue. Depend on the
dynamic thing.
Very dynamic, issues.
So nothing like seasonal business. Every quarter can be similar to this. Sorry? Sir, I asked nothing like seasonality in this business.
No, it's not seasonal business. It is not like sugar or the nothing, the seasonal.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chintan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. I had one question in terms of the end-use market. So if we look at the sort of the end-use industries, how does the revenue get split across the different buckets? Another related question was also in terms of the geography, if we want to just look at the bigger geography like Europe, Asia, and others, what would be the revenue split geography-wise? And I also want to understand in terms of sort of we are sort of passing through the recession, so what could be the impact or what is your outlook or change in outlook between the last half of the year and the next half of the year across different segments?
Okay. I didn't get your first question. Can you just repeat?
In terms of which are the primary end user industry which consumes our product? So is it primarily targeted at construction or it gets into some aspect of the manufacturing? How does it get used as a consumable? Which are the industry which are consuming it?
So basically, our major industries would be someone like elevator manufacturer, crane manufacturers, oil and offshore exploration, shipping, mining. So construction also uses a lot of ropes. So it's primarily related to a lot of it is infrastructure related. Plus, we also have a big replacement market. So there is constant orders coming in. Once the rope is installed, again, it has different cycles depending on the durability. So it can vary from 10 days to 25 years, again, depending on the application. Piling is, again, one good example of wire rope application. The second question is the distribution across the globe. So around 30-35% comes from Europe, 20% comes from US and the South American market. The balance comes from the South Asian countries and Middle East. So we are well spread across 52 plus countries on almost all the parts of the world.
Right. Thanks a ton for sharing this detail. The third question was about in terms of the, basically the world, we had seen some sort of the decline coming across in different markets.
Right.
How are you seeing this change in outlook?
So basically,
either
if you see
the region level or at some of the industry level, if you can.
Difficult times. So I think we as a country and as an Indian manufacturer, we have a big opportunity, especially when we look at the global landscape. Since our cost of production is very competitive, we have almost the same machines that a German manufacturer can have, and our input quality of rods is again at world stage. So the kind of value proposition that we can give in is again one of the best in the world. So I think that is what our focus is.
Understood, sir. Thanks, Etan.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a very good set of numbers. Sir, just to understand, I can understand that steel price is a major factor when it comes to, sales and EBITDA, the inventory loss or inventory gain as it may. So it is difficult to put a percentage margin to it. But, sir, can you quantify if EBITDA per, ton would be a better way to calculate? And if you have any number in mind, below which the company usually won't, operate. So, like, if I take FY23 number, it comes somewhere around 36,000. So, can you just help me understand this?
See, EBITDA margin is directly depend upon the steel prices, productivities, sales realizations. So EBITDA margin last year, let us see, it was 59,000 rupees per ton was the gross margin. EBITDA margin was 36,000 rupees per ton, and PAT margin was 16,000 rupees per ton. And this margin we are personally, I am confident, yes, we will be able to maintain it in the coming period also, subject to, you know, variation of the energy prices, steel prices. But by and large, looking to the business plans and the order book position, we are confident that to maintain the growth what we have achieved last year.
I mean, on the power side of it, you are quite confident of reducing the cost. So, over and above that, we are confident of, you know, making better EBITDA, right?
We are trying to mitigate the risk. Power cost include, energy cost include two portions. One is the power cost, second is the LNG gas. LNG is not in control. Powers, it was like, if you remember, the government of Maharashtra increased power by 1 rupee 20 paisa from 1st April 2023, recently, 2 years back. How to address? So to mitigate this type of increase, we have decided to go to solar and partly already installed from 1st April, partly is under erections. It will take another 2 months time. So we are trying to mitigate all the business risks. So far, negative things are there. We are trying to overcome those negative aspects in the business. So far, the cost is concerned. And LNG, I told you, it's impossible. Anybody can predict that what will be the production, cost. But looking to the global scenario, we expect this price should also go down by 15% to 20% based on the Indian Oil and other companies we are talking. But again, the global, you know, political situation, you know, that if something goes wrong, then it can go again very high side or lower side. LNG, I cannot predict, but solar, we can predict that my domestic power cost will go down at least 30% to 40%.
Okay. So final question on my side is, can you tell me what is your regular capex plus the capex that has been spent for the solar power?
We don't expect a major capex. Maybe 1 or 2% of our gross block will be capex to just achieve our rated capacity within 2 to 3 years time. A very small number, maybe 10 crores rupees per year.
Okay, and the solar power, the cost for solar power?
Solar, we are outsourcing, we signed the PPA with some Swiss company, and we are just paying the 4 rupees 40 paisa per unit, and other which is outsourced, which is we are paying 4 rupees 60 paisa. There is no capex at all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. All the best.
We have to use our entire cash flow for the better utilization and better returns. So I mentioned that we expect any cash we are spending, at least we should go to 20% to 30%, you know, returns.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, could you specify what's the exact subsidy which has been booked in Q4?
Q4 subsidy. 10 crores, 10 lakhs we booked in the third quarter, the last quarter.
Q4. How much, sir? Could you repeat? I could not hear.
10 crores, 10 lakhs.
10 crores, 10 lakhs.
That is 10 crores round figure.
Okay.
Again, and 40 crores is EBITDA, 45 crores.
Right. Okay. And how much subsidy do you expect for FY24?
This link is the total turnover, and it's too early, but definitely should be around, maybe 40 crores plus. It's too early to give the complete breakup. Once three quarters over, then definitely we can guess it, what is the final numbers.
And how much of... Okay, got it, sir. And sir, we mentioned that 85% of our turnover is through exports. Are these deemed exports, or are we directly exporting to the...
These are deemed exports.
These are deemed exports.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Dheeral from Philip Capital, PCG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So what is the contribution of high margin product in our revenue?
be around. It would be around somewhere in the range of 8 to 10%.
And so, what was this figure last year, FY22?
FY22 would be around 5 to 6%.
How much, sir? 5 to 6%.
Yeah, you're talking about special products, right?
Yeah, so you're talking about a value-added product wherein, you know, we get higher realization and better margin.
In 22,
FY22. In 22, 5 to 6%. Last year, we did maybe around 15-20%. Depends. There are multiple, you know, range. There are basic products. Thereafter, there are maybe 5 or 6 times of value-added products.
Okay, so from 5 to 6%, sir, we have done almost 15-20% kind of a high value-added product mix.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Payal Goyanka from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So I want to know, like, for FY23, right now you mentioned that 8 to 10% is from the high value added product. So in FY24, what do we expect this percentage to be?
This is going to increase to approximately, I think, around 20%. That is our projection. But it's too difficult to tell right now because a lot of these products are under trials. And we have to see how it performs in the with the customers and what is the feedback. So, but this is our goal to achieve at least 20%.
Okay. And the water has been an industry growth in the wire rope market in the last 2-3 years, and what is expected in the next 2-3 years?
There is no official figures about the growth, but as per again our estimates, it would be in the range of 5-6% CAGR.
Okay, so that is for the next 2-3 years we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, and so like in terms of volume growth, we are talking about 15-20%, right, for next year. So industry growth is 5-6%. So in that way, are we like confident of getting the market share that way or something?
See, globally, I mentioned that we are competing with the Koreans and Europeans. Definitely, we are taking the market share of other international players and getting our footprints. At the same time, replacement market also increasing. And I also mentioned that in India also, infrastructure is going to be boom. Mr. Gadkari also announced a big project of $15 billion and metros and highways and bridges, a lot of things is going on in the country also. So it is not the only industry growth, but overall the replacement growth and shifting of the capacity. Like Europe, the energy cost is very high. There are a lot of companies are shutting down because of higher cost. So we are getting the market share in those countries also. So there are multiple reasons why we are expecting 15-20% growth in our company.
Okay. So out of, if you can just, this last question, if you can tell me, so out of the total revenue of 160 crores, how much would have been approximately the replacement order or replacement revenue?
It would be very difficult to quantify that because majority of our business happens through distributor. And that distributor again in turn gives it to the OEMs or the replacement market. So we are not able to track that information as to what is the percentage in replacement market.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Sudan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So basically the CGST subsidy which we are getting, it's on an actual basis. So, or on an accrual basis. So can you just explain this part?
See, this is subsidy we are getting on accrual paid basis, what we are paying the government of Maharashtra. And that also then we are getting after the completion of a year, we have to file the returns and then we get 15 to 18 months time. So this is the process. We are not exemption, we are paying and getting back from the government of Maharashtra.
Okay. And regarding the realization, sir, so we are like 85% we are exporting. So, sir, what is the gap in the realization versus the export and in the domestic market? Like what
is the market? The plus point. First of all, volume we are getting. At same time, the payment security is good as compared to domestic market. Realization, we expect that export market we are getting better realization. That's our major focus is export market. However, we are not ignoring domestic market also. We are increasing in current year our domestic market presence also.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I had a couple of questions. Just wanted to understand the fund infusion with the promoter group has done around 42 crores. What would be the utilization of that money?
Okay. Any other question?
Yeah. Can you...
Utilize for the repayment of the ICD.
Okay. And how much would that reduce the debt by 42 crores, right? Straight.
2 crores, yes.
Got it. And can you help me with the volume numbers for FY 19, 20 and 21?
You are talking production or sales rate?
Sales volumes.
Sales 22, 23, 38,536.
Okay.
22, 23.
Then 2021,
19, 20? No, I don't have a radio. Only you can ask, you can send request to the Verulam. We can submit it on.
Got it. And the power change which you were speaking about, that would accrue this year or would happen across 2-3 years?
Hello?
Yeah, the power change which you were speaking about earlier, where you're looking at around 30-40%.
Current year. It's 23 onwards. April 23 onwards.
Okay.
Just started
on 1st
April.
Got it. Now, currently, what percentage of our about the answer? But what was the biggest risk to EBITDA currently for you?
Last quarter we did around 28% EBITDA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what would be the biggest risk to that number?
And for the full year, it was at 23.65%.
No. So, what would be the biggest risk to that number, let's say 36,000 per ton, what would be the biggest risk to that number?
See, EBITDA, I mentioned that EBITDA is 59,000 rupees per ton. EBITDA is 36,000 per ton, gross contribution 59,000 rupees per ton, and PAT is 16,000 per ton.
Got it. Can you help me with the walkthrough from FY22 to 23, how it moved from 18,000 to 36,000? What were the drivers of that EBITDA per ton from 18,000?
There are 3-4 drivers. Number one, the volume is increased by almost 13%. Number two, our realization increased by 30% because of the steel price increase, and our production cost is reduced. At the same time, for around 5 to 10%, there is a valued product also we inducted in the market. So the 3-4 factors which has increased our EBITDA quarter to quarter. Every quarter there is improvement in the EBITDA.
So can you quantify that? Let's say for the full year, how much, let's say 5,000 rupees came from steel price realization. You would say around 2,000-3,000 rupees would come from power savings. Anything of that sort you can quantify?
Number crunching we can give later on. You can give to Mr. Anuj. We can, otherwise detail we don't have available right now immediately.
Got it. And is there a way that you have tracked, are we the lowest production people globally for our products? Have you tracked it? What kind of production cost we have against our peers?
Actually, we don't have any data about the peer group or competitors, so it would be very difficult to quantify if we are the lowest cost manufacturers. But our focus is constantly to improve our production cost, to reduce our production cost and increase our productivity. So that is a constant endeavor.
Got it. And let's say the subsidy receivables is around 435 crores for our project. And close year, we are getting around 35 to 40 crores every year. And this scheme is supposed to end by FY25-26. So would there be a bulking up of subsidy in the latter part of the scheme?
It depends upon the total volume of the things. And we may request government of Maharashtra to extend also. But right now we have to October 25 only, and let us see, maybe 70% we will be able to utilize if government doesn't give extension. So it's too early to predict whether the government will give extension or not. Last time they gave for 2 years.
So how do we calculate, how is the incentive calculated? Is it on production value, is it on sales value, how is it done?
This is based on what the GST we are paying to, SGST, especially state government GST, what we are paying to government of Maharashtra.
Because as you ramp up sales, and that's how the whole of SGST
is. That is a 9% is IGST, 9% is SGST. So put together 18% is the tax applicable on the wire rope.
Okay, the higher the sales they generate, higher the incentive
they
are able to receive for that particular.
And there is a formula, we reduce the import GST out of that. There are some formulas given by government.
Right. And we had kind of MOU.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Arpit Shah, may we request that you return to the question queue, follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Pratik Pandya from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Since we are new to the company and this is the first time we are holding a call, we just wanted to understand how did the gross margin expand from 37% to 44%? Because historically, they've always been around 37%. So what led to this jump in gross margin suddenly this year?
Basically, again, the three factors would be the product mix, the value-added products, increased productivity, so again, production has increased. And the third is we are catering to newer geographies, so our sales realization is also improving. So these are the three main factors that have resulted in the increased sales.
Yeah.
And also the steel price has reduced, so again, all these factors have contributed.
Okay. So, sir, there is a 12% volume growth. Now, if I'm looking at the history and comparing FY23 over 22, in the 12% volume growth, was there a very significant change in the product mix which expanded our GP? If you could quantify, what was that big change in the product mix, any new large customer acquisition plus new geography, or any sort of inventory gains also, because there in this year we saw steel going up, steel coming down. So if you could help us understand, because just the only the word product mix doesn't explain this, a sudden 7% jump in the GP.
See, apart from this volume, as compared to 21, 22, and 22, 23, US market we just captured last year. That is a major contribution. Earlier it was only Europe and other countries. Now last 1 year, 1 or 15 months, we are working in US and we are getting good support from US market for so far price concern. And certain products we have launched in US market which are successfully giving the higher returns.
Okay. So would that mean that the EBITDA per ton in the newly captured market would be upwards of say 50 to 60,000 rupees a ton?
Not much. This is 50,000 to be percentage too high. If you get 10% or 15%, that is more than enough. This type of interest is 50% is too high.
50,000 rupees. Like we are
too high because nowadays everybody knows the markets. What is the steel price in India? What is in China? What is Europe? We can't expect. In our IT companies, we can expect any such 50% or 50,000 per ton. It's too high. 10 to 15% we get higher realization, that is a bonus for us.
Okay, fine sir, thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Mr. Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow up sir, and very good performance by you. And sir, basically I just wanted to know, how are we placed in the world market, sir, amongst the different companies organizing in the same area? And in India specifically, only one competition is there, Usha Martin. How are we placed to them? And second thing, sir, is about the, basically, due to geopolitical tensions and other things, the export performance of Indian companies which have been focusing on exports is not doing that well and India focused business is doing quite well. So, but we are saying that 85% is our exports only. So any plan of looking to Indian market was also with great vigor and focus. Thank you. And margins also in India working
as well. As I mentioned, we perform well in difficult situations. So globally, if there are problems, then definitely people or consumers prefer to have better quality at right price. So value proposition wise, we are at right strategy, we are at right location, we can offer good quality product at right price as compared to European market. That is number one. We don't compare with anybody in the India so far, peer group company concerned. We have own market strategy globally, and our major competitor is from the Koreans and Europeans market. And in any adverse situation, Europe or any other territory, we are comfortable because market gets shifted, the production capacity of those countries going down, and we are getting better realization, better order position.
The geopolitical tension impacting other engineering companies which were focusing on exports, have been exception, sir. And the margins for exports.
Regarding Wirok, we are in better position globally because there are very few industries globally which can produce good quality ropes at right price. And this is a repressive market. Other engineering companies, they might be consumer, other thing we are not focusing, but ours, the replacement market is quite a big market. At the same time, we are getting benefits if the global, if there is a problem with energy cost or other cost is going higher, European other things, their salary wages is going higher. So we are in a very competitive position.
What about India focus and opportunity size in India, sir?
Excellent.
We are looking to expand our footprint in domestic market, and I think with the current government and their entire focus on infrastructure growth, we are seeing a lot of traction in domestic market also. So definitely we are going to improve our domestic footprint.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Devesh S. from DS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations for good number. I just had one question on the export because that makes up most of our revenue. You called out that most of it happens through distributor. Do we have any plans to set up our own channel here in any country to start with? The reason I'm asking is that ultimately relationship with the customer currently is owned by a distributor. How do we see that angle moving forward?
See, right now we don't have any plan. Once we finalize, we'll definitely inform to everyone, stakeholders. At present, we don't have any plans to set up any distribution in the Europe or other countries.
Okay. And connected to that, then, in terms of distributor who sort of deal with the end customer, how do we get demand visibility? Does distributor sort of shares orders with us every few months, or how does that work? Because direct customer, you will have a better demand visibility, right?
Yeah, distributors actually have the pulse of the market and they do share with us what is the traction they foresee for a few quarters or a few months. They might have annual rate contracts with some of the OEMs. So they do have a very good visibility of the pulse of that market, of that geography.
Got it. And these distributors, do we have any exclusivity of, relationship or they can work with anybody?
Most of our distributors are, they keep multi-brands. We don't have any exclusive distributor per se.
Got it. Thank you. And all the way.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
So just wanted to understand versus the capacity of 70,000 that we have right now, what is the peak utilization that we can reach?
Sorry, can you just repeat?
So versus the capacity that we have right now of
62%, we utilized last year up to March 23, and we are planning to increase by 10 to 15, 20% in the coming years, increase the utilization. So maybe within 3 years' time, we'll able to achieve the optimum level, maybe 90-95%.
Considering the fact that we have 1,000-plus SKUs, we can still go to 90-95% utilization?
I think it's going to be around 80-85% capacity utilization max that we can go. But yes, we would be adding more balancing equipment. So definitely this number can increase.
Understood. And if and when we do decide to increase our capacity, is there scope for at our current location at Charlestown for the brownfield?
Yes, there is capacity. There is space for additional capacities.
Got it. Great. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just had one more question. We had signed an MOU with a group called Brighton Group. So what percentage of the revenues comes from Brighton Group? They are one of the larger players in the wire rope business globally.
That MOU was signed 4 years back. Around 5-6% we are supplying to Brighton Group.
Got it. Do we have any tax losses in our books or everything is cleared off?
We have around 280 crores cash tax losses. And as per the balance sheet, around 30 crores is the losses carry forward.
Got it. And what kind of working capital are we looking at? What kind of receivable inventory and payable? What kind of inventory? What kind of working capital are we looking out for the next?
Working capital side, we are quite comfortable. We have around 3 months total working capital in the company. And as greater side, we realize around 30 to 45 days. So we are comfortable with the current cycle of 3 to 4 months maximum.
3 to 4 months. So of that, payables would be 45 days. Inventory would be how much?
Receivable around 45 days. Payable, we take it hardly 10 days if we take it absolute numbers.
Got it.
So payable is still on the cash basis or zinc in cash basis. Other material we take around, say, 30-35 days credit. So overall creditors may be around 10 days of the total purchase. But data side, yes, around 45 days time, it takes time to get the money back. And around 2 months, we keep inventory for the WIP, finished goods and raw material.
Got it. So any scope to reduce it further, or this is the optimal look that you have right now?
We can go optimization. We can go, depend upon situation, because sometimes you have to give the inventory also. So there may be 5 days, 10 days plus minus.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the end of our question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management from Bharat Wire Ropes Limited for closing comments.
Thank you for all the participants in the evening, this earning call. I hope we are able to answer all questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers, Volram Advisors. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Bharat Wire Ropes Limited call, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.